Welcome to the Sadler Lectures podcast. Responding to popular demand, I'm converting my philosophy videos into sound files you can listen to anywhere you can take an MP3. If you like what you hear and want to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. I hope you enjoy this lecture.
When do you have to make choices? To choose not to make a choice is, in some respect, to choose something. It's to choose to let something else call the shots. There's a band, Rush, that actually like worked that into their song called Free Will. And they were actually just taking stuff right from Sartre. You always choose throughout your life. So choice is ongoing, let's say. Let's get more determinate. When do you actually have to make choices that matter to you? It's always in some sort of situation, right? So there's some sort of good, some sort of value that motivates you. Do you have to choose when there's only one possibility? If it's totally out of your hands and it's going to go the way it's going to go, there's no choice. So anytime that there's choice involved, there's different directions that, it might be just two, it could be a whole bunch. What were you going to ask or say?
Well, I was just confused by what you meant by one possibility, you can do it or you don't. I think the same.
Yeah, if there's one thing that you could do, you could also not do it, right? Or you can do it halfway, or who knows, do it with a bad attitude. That would be a different choice, actually, from a Sartre perspective. Now, how do you actually decide what to do? This goes to that question that I asked earlier about what resources do you have for moral decision making? What are some of the resources that you have relied on in your life? Examples of parents, older family members. You might expand that to people in certain social roles in our society. Yeah. Religion for a lot of people provides a pretty coherent system for figuring these sorts of things out. Sometimes with clear prescriptions, don't do this or have to do this. What else? What are other things? Yeah.
Kind of like moral ethics of our parents and societies and so on.
Like principles that don't steal things. Now, you could have gotten that from parents, you could have gotten that from a religious source, because, commandment against stealing. A lot of other places where it says don't steal, in the Bible, too, if you dig around. Yeah?
So say, like, the law.
The laws in your society? Yeah. If the laws are set up well, they're supposed to actually make better people out of us, or at least keep us from becoming really bad people. There's only so much you can do with it. Martin Luther King got this famous statement where he says something along the lines of, the law cannot make a man love me, but it can sure keep him from killing me. And that's not nothing. That's something worth the law doing. So yeah. Now, why do these matter? Do they make us choose the things that we do? Are they infallible guides? Some of the people we're going to look at this semester would say, yeah, in some cases they could be. Sartre doesn't think they are. He thinks that it ultimately comes down to your choice. So think about this example that he has of the young man. Maybe you had a little bit of trouble relating to it because it's such a different situation, but I think you've been in some difficult dilemmas yourself, right? This young man is in occupied France. The Nazis have come in, taken over. They're doing horrible things all over the place to people. And this guy really loves his mom, and he is staying with her. She's not doing too well, and he's the one who's there to take care of her, and she's really attached to him. So if he leaves, it's almost like giving her a death sentence, right? On the other hand, the Nazis are occupying his country, and they are pretty bad. They're doing horrible things to people visibly out in the streets. He has a chance to go do something about that. He could join the resistance and, maybe end up in the Free French forces and come back and liberate France. These are both good things to do, aren't they? And this young man comes, according to Sartre, he may have made this up. Young man comes to Sartre and says, what should I do? And Sartre says, yeah, this is really a problem. What would you rely on to make that sort of choice? He says, well, if you consult the Christian religion, it doesn't actually tell you which thing you should pick. I mean, you could probably find depending on how you're interpreting, you know, your the religion, maybe it's a matter of finding the right Bible verses. Have you ever, like, gone through and you can find Bible verses seemingly for and seemingly against, and then it really doesn't solve the problem for you? What about religious authority? If you choose one authority, you might get one answer. Choose another authority, you might get another answer. This is not the sort of thing that's really easy to figure out. What about if you say, well, you know, Christianity is all about love, so do the loving thing. Well, is that to stay with your mom, or is that to love the other people in your country? Which one takes priority? Sartre says the only thing that can decide that is your choice. Nothing else can tell you what the right thing to do is. What if you consulted a book of ethics? Like you read Kant, or you read Aristotle, or John Stuart Mill. There are definitely some things where they disagree. Well, who's making you follow Kant's guidelines or Aristotle's guidelines? You, right? Your choice, again, if you go with Kant instead of Mill, or you go with, say, Jean-Paul Sartre instead of Aristotle, you're the one making that choice, again. And it doesn't do you any good to say, well, Kant's right, so that's why I'm going with him. Because according to Sartre, the reason why Kant is right is because you're choosing for him to be right about ethics. Are there any other things that you could rely on? Examples. Well, you know, examples are kind of tough to use too, aren't they? Because you're never quite sure exactly what this person would do in this novel circumstance. Not a view that I actually hold myself to, but this is what Sartre says. I think sometimes you could figure that thing out. What about your feelings? Do you ever rely on your feelings for making moral decisions? No, I do. Do you guys? How many of you ever, like, have done something and then you felt what we call pangs of conscience? You did something bad, and then you felt regret. Okay, maybe you could rely on that, right? Or do you ever feel affection or love towards people and that makes you want to do the right thing by them even though you don't really feel like doing the right thing? Does it sometimes guide you into figuring out what the right thing is? Now, Sartre would say you're responsible for that emotion. You choose to follow that.
So you're choosing someone else's... So the choices you make aren't really yours because you're choosing someone else's choice?
Well, no, they are your choice. Think about it as like a whole table full of... Like at a buffet. You've got your Kant plates and your Aristotle plates and your Bible verse plates and mom and dad plates and conscience plates. And you walk through and they're all pretty attractive. And they probably all would... fill you up unless it turns out you have allergies to some of these things. But you're the one who actually gets to pick them. And so maybe today it's all Aristotle. And you're going to go with him. You're the one who chose that. And there's no thing coercing that choice, making you do that. You could say, well, Aristotle made me choose Aristotle. So I would say, that's completely circular. At bottom, it's you. Or I like Aristotle. Well, you choose to make liking the criterion by which you settle these things. So Sartre will say, ultimately, it's all up to our individual choice. And now, does that choice have any criterion outside of itself? No. As a matter of fact, he says, you make things good by deciding for them to be the good. So all of you, think about this. As an example, you're all here in a college classroom. You could be in a lot of other places, right? You could have joined the military, could be working right now, you could be a criminal, you could just be like sitting at home in somebody's basement, taking it easy, but you chose to come here and apply yourself, and you've made it through, you know, 2 years, maybe 2.5 years, or those of your seniors, 3 years, you put in all this work, you decided that was a fundamental good for you. You may have had parents telling you, oh, you have to go to school. Or you may have had people threatening you with consequences. If you don't go to school, then you're gonna have a hard time in the workplace. But obviously that doesn't compel everybody, does it? Because there's some people that are just sitting in a couch in the basement watching TV right now who are your age, who aren't holding down a job, aren't making anything of themselves, and they've been able to make that choice. So clearly, those consequences by themselves don't necessarily make people do anything. It's you choosing to be what you're going to be. You making of yourself a project. You determining, again, what your essence is going to be. And Sartre, this, we're not actually going to get into this very deeply. Sartre says that when you do that, you're not just deciding for yourself. You're deciding what human being ought to be like. I'm not sure that he can actually get away with that. I think that maybe once you pull the bottom out and it's all a matter of individual choice and there's no criteria for that choice, there may be some difficulties in justifying that, but we can talk about that some other time.
Special thanks to all of my Patreon supporters for making this podcast possible. You can find me on Twitter at Philosopher70, on YouTube at the Gregory B. Sadler channel, and on Facebook on the Gregory B. Sadler page. Once again, to support my work, go to patreon.com/sadler. Above all, keep studying these great philosophical works.